Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast around the planet on American Forces Radio Network. It is our pleasure now to welcome to the show James Boswick, attorney and author, and he's here to talk about how COVID-19 has affected our court system here in the United States. But before we get to that, James, your novel Acts of Omission from Simon & Schuster is going to come out in paperback on June 20th, and this is a novel, but correct me if I'm wrong, this is kind of based upon, do I call it a historical novel, on a case that you had, right?
Yes, it's loosely based on a trial I had back in the 80s, when as a young lawyer I took on, sued, actually, for legal malpractice. Most people consider the most famous lawyer in the country. Of course, the book is a highly fictionalized version of that, but yeah, it's that's the bones of it.
Do you think, and you're a Bay Area guy like me, are we truly the most litigious state in the union, or is that kind of overblown?
Oh, I think that's overblown. I think it's easy for people to say things like that, but every time a person calls me and talks about some devastating thing that's happened to their family, the first thing they say is, I never thought about suing. I don't want to sue. I don't like the idea, but, you know, our family is, we can't make it. We can't survive with what's happened to us. No, I think most people don't like the idea of a lawsuit. It's distasteful to most of us. Heck, I'm a lawyer, and I don't want to be suing people, you know.
Well, I think also people take a broad paintbrush to lawyers, and they'll take, you know, like a malpractice lawyer like you and think that you're all ambulance chasers and, you know, you're just trying to get punitive and compensatory damages for anything you possibly can to make yourselves rich. That's sort of the stereotype, right?
That is the stereotype. Actually, that was what motivated me to write the book, because I wanted people, if they wanted to have a fun time reading a book that has a little romance and a little fun and a little, you know, danger in it, stuff like that, but also get a real feeling for what a lawyer actually goes through trying to figure out, should I take the case? What if I do take the case? What are the risks? Oh, my God, I'm going to have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, if I can't be successful for this family, they're going to be devastated and I'm going to go bankrupt, you know. So it's not quite like people think. Ambulance chasing is fun to joke about. But in reality, people out there trying to take anything that comes along are usually going to have economic disaster.
Was there any point in the book, one of your characters, maybe a dumb guy, and you had a friend say, "Was that supposed to be me?"
Hey, yes, that has happened to me a few times, and with people that have read the book. And there are some very well-known characters in the book that folks have fun trying to figure out who they are, and some of them are very real, and some of them are totally figments of my imagination. And of course, some of them were fun combinations of people. Well,
sure. So let's talk about how we do the process now of jury selection, which is, what's the French word for that? I forgot.
Voir
dire. That's it. Voir dire. So, I mean, I've been on jury duties before. What happens now? Are they doing it on Skype? I mean, we can't shut down the entire judicial system, right?
Well, you know, probably we didn't during any of the world wars, and we didn't we had shut down the judicial system. The judicial system is essentially ground to a halt. The Supreme Court is not hearing cases. The U.S. Supreme Court, the counties all over the state here are taking different approaches to it, but most of the judges are home, sheltering in place. I can't get a case to move. Every jury trial in San Francisco was moved down the road 90 days, and that's just for the moment. We can't pick a jury right now. People can't sit that close to each other. And it's fascinating to think about, you know, as we come into a new normal, we're not just going to suddenly be able to go back to life as it was. So how is the, how are we going to, you know, civil cases are one thing. That's just maybe a family with a terribly brain-damaged child that's been waiting years to get to court so they can maybe have some economic security and get some help and have a life. That's a civil case. Criminal cases, however, are going to always take precedence. And the criminal cases, because they have a right to a trial by jury, and they have a right to a trial, a speedy trial. And that always used to be waived by the defendants because they'd rather delay, right? Now they don't waive it. Now what are the courts going to do? They've got to provide them a speedy trial. When we get going again, all those courts in the state are going to be taking care of that backlog of criminal cases, and how are they going to pick a jury? Am I supposed to stand on, I'm not a criminal lawyer, but I picked a lot of juries, and am I supposed to stand up and pick a jury with a mask on my face and a mask on the juror's face? And I can't even see whether they're smiling at me or sneering. I don't know. I can't get a sense of them. And that's if I'm close enough to see them with a mask on. What if they're, you know, what if they're on TV? What if I'm having to pick a jury, you know, on Zoom? You know, maybe it's all of a sudden TV has come into our courtrooms. It's a very strange thing. You know, when we try a jury case, jurors get to sit there. You know, they're all from all over the community, and they put their common sense together and make common sense decisions. That's what's the beauty of the system. People don't want to sit there and spend their time, but when they get a chance to actually do it, they usually find it was a fabulous, fabulous experience. And
yeah,
how are they supposed to do it now when they can't talk to each other, when they can't see the witnesses, when they can't get up close and personal? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, a couple more questions for Attorney James Boswick, author of Acts of Omission. We always hear, even before this, that there's a backlog of cases. How many times have you run into the person who said, look, I know the Supreme Court has some pressing issues, but the injunction on my neighbor's barking dog has to take precedent over everything? In fact, I insist on it.
Well, they can insist all they want. That doesn't mean the court's going to listen any more than they'll listen to me if I'm worried about some case of mine that really, really should have. You know, maybe I have a lady that's dying of cancer, and she's only got a few months to get her case heard. The courts, you know, do the best they can, and they're way underfunded in our system. And now, unfortunately, with everything that's happened, they're going to be more underfunded. The courts are doing the best they can. But the guy that wants that injunction for the dog barking, he better talk to his neighbor and get a bark collar.
Well, I know you know, everybody needs that. They don't need to step up, but it's nice to see people step up. The whole think globally, act locally, whatever you can do to help, even if you're just checking in on a neighbor. But you're saying that lawyers can reduce the impact of COVID-19. In fact, you've identified six things, James.
Yes. Well, there's lots of things that we can do. Well, I think the most important thing we can do is work together, you know, to help everybody understand that this distancing thing is working, and we can't just let up on it. I mean, I'm sitting at home. I'd rather be in the office, but I haven't been in the office for weeks. And when I go out to the store for my wife, I have a mask on and gloves, and I feel kind of stupid. I think that's why we're doing so well in California, and we can't, I'm afraid we can't let up on it. Yeah, we can all help each other, and the lawyers can help the courts. You know, the courts need help now. They need lawyers' ideas about how to process all this stuff, and the lawyers can help each other, because although we're adversaries, in fact, you know, we all are professionals, and we're all what they call officers of the court. And we all have the same needs, and we all have the same desires to have the system work fairly for our clients and to have it work smoothly and not to have justice delayed. You know, the old saying, justice delayed is justice denied.
Have you ever been held in contempt of court? And if not, what was the closest you ever got?
No. No, I haven't. Good Lord. Though I often pack a toothbrush in my briefcase. I haven't. But once in a while, and rarely do you do this, because the judge is the master. I mean, they have the black robe, and they're in charge, even if you don't necessarily agree with what they're doing. But once in a while, you just have to disagree. And once in a while, you have to just say, wait a minute. And I've come close a couple times. I'm not, thank goodness, not very often, because most judges, they're smart. That's why they're there. They know that they better listen, because the lawyer's job is to help them not make a mistake.
Have you ever thought about being a judge, or you don't want to take the pay cut?
Oh, Lord. You know, it would be a pay cut. That's true. I don't think they're paid nearly enough for what they do. They work really hard. That's a lot of stress. They have to make decisions that would haunt you. It's not an easy job. What people think, well, the power thing, they have a lot of power. Yes, that's true. But with the power goes the decision-making, and people's lives are, going to depend on what you do. I don't envy them that, and I respect what they do.
Last question, and I'm sure prosecutors and criminal attorneys get this threaten you, like, USOB, you ruined everything for me, I'll have my revenge, that type of thing.
Do I hear that from other lawyers?
No, have you ever heard that from anybody in your career?
Well, I've heard it. I've seen it on the faces of people I've cross-examined, certainly. And, when things haven't worked out well for whoever was the defendant. But no, because that's the beauty of our system. It is a balanced system. Everybody gets their shot. They get their chance. And probably that's the only weakness in the system, is that for people that don't have as much, we have legal aid. We have, public defenders, but they're way underfunded. If we need health care, but we need to fund the safety net in the judicial system, in the justice system, for the people that can't get access. That really needs to be funded, and that has to be done. I think that's critical. That's something I can spend hours on.
Yeah, no, I hear you. We've been speaking with James Boswick. Make sure to check out his novel. It's going to be from Simon & Schuster, paperback on June 20th, called Acts of Omission, based on a true story. James, thanks for your time your insights, and let's do it again sometime.
Thanks. It was just nominated for the Harper Lee Award, so that's kind of fun, too. And the hardbound sold out. If the first edition's gone.
Well, you can do the old Letterman line. It had to do a second printing because the first printing, it was smeared.
Yes, that's good.
All right, thanks, James.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Byline.